Thanks for joining us here at WHYY. I'm Matt Gillum. Things are warming up outside and hydration is key, not just for you and me as we hit the trails or go for a stroll along the Schuylkill, but for the plants populating backyards and window boxes across the Delaware Valley. Joining us to gab about keeping the garden moist is author and lecturer Jenny Rose Carey. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Matt.
Well, it is getting warm out there, and you might think it's time to start dousing the plants, but you say we are faced with a Shakespearean dilemma. To water or not to water? That is the question. Are there choices gardeners can make or techniques they can adopt to have a semblance of clarity on this eternal quandary?
Okay, here we go. So
you like that setup, didn't you?
I really loved it. Yes, yes. Big fan of Shakespeare. Not surprising. So one of the things that we tend to do in our gardens is overwater. But I find that if you make your plants work harder, they will get their roots further down. So if you keep going out and quote unquote rescuing your plants by giving them a little sprinkle every night after work, which I gather is therapeutic for us,
sometimes that's more for us than the plants.
I was going to say it's much more goodbye, kids. I'm leaving. I'm going to water the plants. Yes. Here we get into life lessons. But so when you water in a shallow way every day, the roots of the plants tend to go up to the surface. If you do twice a week, something like that, and you water deeply, the water goes down further into the soil and the roots will then grow down that way.
Well, if we are looking to sort of be smart and sensible with our water use, I mean, if we don't want to go and just fully like xeriscape the yard like they
yes.
sort of do in Arizona and California,
yes,
I've seen.
Yeah.
What are some options for people that are looking to reduce or minimize the long-term watering needs?
Very good question. So there's several strategies depending on the look that you like. I happen to have a gravel garden and I have had that since 2004 and I have never watered it.
And things are growing?
Things are growing so well I have to go in and pull a whole bunch of stuff out. So it
wow.
is possible in this climate, but when I designed that garden, I chose things with tap roots, things like our native Baptisia, and that has a huge long tap root, like a dandelion. So when I chose the plants for my quote-unquote dry garden, which people from California just think is hilarious because we get about, you know, what do
a
we get?
A lot of rain.
A lot of rain, yes. But I chose things that I thought were going to survive. So you look at the plant, if it has silvery foliage, if it has small leaves, those are two clues that maybe it's more drought tolerant. So things like Russian sage, things like lavender, things like there's a plant called Santalina, which is a herb. Those are all drought tolerant because they come from areas of the world where that silvery foliage reflects the heat and the light and keeps them cooler. So tap roots, silver foliage, small leaves are all signs that it might be drought tolerant.
You've got me fascinated by this because you don't water it. It's survived now for more than 20 years without
yeah.
being watered.
Yeah.
And all of these meaty, silver-leafed, semi-succulent plants survive the winters here as well?
Yes, they do. If you choose ones that we've talked about in the past about zones, so most of our listening area are between 5 and 7 or 8. So you look on the zones for the plant, the hardiness zones. So that's on the USDA website that people can go to. But all of those are perfectly hardy. And you know what kills them is winter wet. So we're talking about drought in the summer, but really what kills them is if they are planted where they get too much water in the winter.
So like snow melting and just soaking in
if
and things
it's
like
sitting,
that?
If you plant it in a puddle. So the other thing I do is raise up and make berms or banks and put them on these banks. And then I actually mulch with about 2 or 3 inches of small pebbles, river pebbles, and that's my mulch. If you don't like that look, then maybe you're going to plant drought-tolerant native plants because once you get those natives settled into the ground on native soil, then they will be extremely drought-tolerant. It's like you choose what you like, but most of the plants here, we get so much rain. It's just that it comes erratically. So you get them, like we were talking about with the deep roots, get them to have the roots that go down rather than up, and then do mulch. And you're sort of going to tend them the first bit that you put them in, and then you're trying to train them to be out on their own so you don't have to water them.
You raise these little plants and then you let them go out into the world.
You do, yes.
Well, should people stay out of their gardens after they've been thoroughly watered? I've heard that if you are moving around in a wet garden, that can help spread disease. Is there any truth to that?
I think that's maybe a little overrated, but I can't think of anything that I'd be spreading. I know people water after work, but in the summer, if you can do it before work, it's good because then the foliage does dry by the time you get home. And then when you get home, you do a bit of gentle deadheading, you know, a little bit of weeding, something like that instead.
And the best part of that is you're giving yourself two excuses to
go
outside.
Out in the garden and say, bye, kids, yes, or bye, spouse, yes.
Well, we've got a great strategy here, Jenny.
Yep.
We have been getting the ins and outs of watering from noted horticulturalist Jenny Rose Carey. Thanks for throwing some cold water on us.
Oh, bye, Matt.